First of all, thank you, Professor Lackner, and the consortium for letting me be part of this lecture series, and I hope to make a worthwhile contribution to it. This presentation has developed over the course of 3 or 4 earlier talks I gave, and I have substantially redesigned and extended it for today. The material I draw on is the result of slightly more than 3 years during which I had the opportunity to work on my doctoral dissertation, including the last year here at the IKGF, that provided such a fabulous environment for research, which I was very privileged to enjoy, I must say. I study forms of arguments in cosmological speculation from traditional China, that is, from the classical period to late medieval and early modern times. And today I want to talk about argumentation through diagrams. An article in a German weekly magazine I read recently made me think about the timelessness of certain developments that we often assume are hitherto unknown or without comparison. A new software has been described in that article, which interpreted the human voice of a person being interviewed for a job to predict that person's qualification and suitability for a certain project or task. However, the rather distressing thing about this new technology to me was the fact that the algorithm was not used to interpret what the human interlocutor said in any literal sense. Instead, it merely focused on the voice itself, its pitch, rhythm, volume, modulation, and so on. And then, based on a large data set of anonymous profiles, it gave a prognosis of that person's motivation, persistence, flexibility, courage, charisma, and so on. Recruitment and effectiveness of officialdom were also among the goals of reform projects projected by Wang Anshi, 1021 to 1086. And the reason I begin with this anecdote is that my talk includes certain applications of, broadly speaking, technology and computation. One fundamental way of looking at these, therefore, is to ask ourselves whether what is achieved with the help of computation qualifies as mathematics, in a sense that for there to be mathematics, it is necessary, so goes the saying, that the person doing it knows what he or she is doing, regardless of the practical outcome. Or otherwise, we have to modify our notion of the concept of mathematics. When I say forms of arguments, think about the differences in knowledge representation between linear text and visual images. How what is not said in any text seems to be implicit in visual images. How charts and graphs can communicate ideas that are impossible or only very impractical to put into words. To use a metaphor, think about how solving a puzzle on paper structures the way the resulting complete image is discovered. And how, more importantly, an existing picture can be broken down into a puzzle that should only have one correct way of assembling its parts. Or, more concrete, think about how logical operators such as conjunction, disjunction, alternation, causation, and so on in linear exposition are translated in a sequence of diagrams to illustrate and prove at the same time the correctness of the sequence of one model of cosmogenesis over another, as it is the case in my study. Also, think about how conventionally established associations in symbolism work very differently in writing as opposed to visual statements, and how an author might leave a holy scripture, one that must not be altered, untouched by paraphrasing parts of it with graphs, while at the same time new ideas are injected. The material used in this paper dates from the early Sung and is an adaptation of classical cosmological texts that revolve around the Book of Changes, Yijin, and the role that numbers and diagrams play in this adaptation. And what I am interested in primarily is the tension between symbolic and computational uses of numbers. My talk will have 3 parts. First, I give you a historical background that includes biographical notes and textual problems of my sources. This source is first of all the Yishu Goyintu by a scholar official named Liu Mu, as well as the texts that are the required reading, so to say, for the Yishu Goyintu. Second, we will look in detail at a series of diagrammatic problems, of which each will be contextualized with its discursive background, a technical explanation, and some tentative methodological remarks. And third, I try to give a conclusion that will take up and answer some of the questions that were posed at the outset, and also broaden the scope of the study and suggest a few further lines of inquiry. A few words on the school of charts and books. Beginning in the Northern Song Dynasty, several classical scholars began to explore new visual modes of argumentation, such as charts, diagrams, maps, and so on. These scholars were proponents of what will later be called the school of charts and books, Tushu Xuepai. This branch of learning, sorry, that's the next, oops, oh, where? This branch of learning represents a temporary flourishing of intermedial discourse and had its own specific relation to the two established schools, meaning a pattern, Yili, and image and number, Xiang Shu. In the conventional view of lines of transmission, which goes back to the editors of the Siku Trenshu, the school of charts and books is seen as a sub-branch of the image and number tradition, and I'd like to comment on some problematic implications of this view in my conclusion. The school of charts and books had lasting influence on later thinkers who were faced with similar difficulties in making sense of classical texts. Among the early proponents of Tushu were Liu Mu and Shao Yong, and also later Zhu Zhen, Zhang Li, as well as many others in varying degrees. The innovative method of these thinkers was the invention of diagrams alongside verbal explication. However, instead of tracing lines of transmissions and identifying schools, it is, I think, equally illuminating to see how the ideas themselves acquire a dynamic of their own when they become transplanted across time and translated across media, and how the media and the practice of diagrammatics shape these translations. During the early decades of the 11th century, Liu Mu invented numerically motivated cosmological diagrams that were followed by the contemporary Shao Yong, 1011 to 1077, the work that initiated a temporary flourishing of diagrammatic speculation in the Northern Song. According to a close contemporary, Li Go, 1009 to 1020, at 1052, who wrote a harsh critique on Liu Mu's work, Liu Mu was even responsible for initiating the revival of the studies of the I Ching in his time. Liu Mu can therefore be called the founder of the school of charts and books, or at least of its cosmological wings, long before that name was coined. In retrospect, Shao Yong became the famous and influential numeratus and cosmologist of his time, as well as the topic of many contemporary books and articles, while Liu Mu's contributions, on the other hand, have never been systematically examined. Liu Mu's biography and life dates are a matter of debate. We cannot go into this for today's talk. Suffice it to say that very early, already a few generations after his death, two Liu Mus appeared on the screen, and it was argued that Liu Mu, with the second name Liu Minshi, was the true author of the Eshu Gointo, and not the other one, Liu Zhangmin, who had been credited with it up to then. There were two advantages of this claim. First, the person making this claim was a later relative of Liu Minshi, and second, that Liu Minshi had lived even slightly earlier than Liu Zhangmin, and therefore would have been clearly prior to, or for example, Shao Yong, and also prior to Zhou Zhenyi. The beginnings of the school of charts and books are therefore vague, and the name Liu Mu may, for the time being, serve more as a label for a diverse and partly self-contradictory collection of materials that stem from different periods and probably from different authors. So, for the second part, let us first look at two classic examples of diagrams of this time. Here, we can identify, so these are the famous Hertu and Luoshu, which spawned a large debate in the Song Dynasty, which I will have more to say in a few minutes. Let us first look at them. We can identify several assumptions that qualify a valid diagrammatic statement, and how these translate into linear linguistic propositions and vice versa. The diagram on the left represents simply a so-called magic square of the order 3. The organization of the numbers reflects the idea of the nine regions or palaces, Jiugong from Han's sources. All individual numbers are at their symbolically justified positions, note the cardinal directions, and so on. The sequence of reading numbers incrementally in the Hetu, the one on the right, results in a rotation which reflects natural perception of the sky and the earth, and also a process of change of dark yin and light yang. The overall shape of a diagram can be circular, square, anthropomorphic, and so on. The diagram itself can be a reformulation of a classical passage. Sometimes we find mnemonic verses, for example, one that correlates the number of the lower shoe, numbers of the lower shoe to body parts, and so on. As we see, for example, this mnemonic verse, which appears in the work of Liu Mu. It has been ascribed to an earlier author from the 6th century, Zheng Luan, and it uses rhyme, and the numbers are, so to say, correlated with body parts. And it has some other features that are quite interesting, but we'll not mention that for now. The only thing that is missing is that it is a magic square, which is described here. It is not part of this description of this mnemonic rhyme. My translation of the character 2 as a diagram instead of a chart is therefore more appropriate, I believe, as in its original Greek meaning, diagramma, were also figures of reasoning and argumentation and not necessarily visual objects in the first place. The Sung authors induce rules from these observations and reuse these rules as a grammar for their own diagrammatic solutions, as we can see in the following example. The diagrams on the left appear quite late in the sequence of Liu Mu's stages of cosmogenesis. That is to say, the work begins with one ultimate and then goes on to the two yin and yang, the four images, the five phases, the eight trigrams, and so on, all the way to the 64 hexagrams, the 365 days of the year, and the 10,000 things. These diagrams on the left appear somewhere in between, halfway down the road, but for this reason, they belong to a realm where artificial signs can be manipulated by sages, and therefore suppose that time, space, phases, forces, and so on have already been ordered. Nonetheless, they are elementary to understanding Liu Mu's method. Here, trigrams on the right, which are very old, they only look newer because they are in the Unicode encoding here, but they are very old compared to the ones on the left. So the trigrams on the right, they are translated into numbers on the left by counting an unbroken line as 1 and a broken line as 2. The possible resulting sums are therefore 3, 4, 5, and 6, with 4 and 5 each appearing 3 times. The qualitative connotation of even yin and odd yang enhances this numerical reading. The goal of this operation was to prove formally that the 8 trigrams on the right and the numbers of the four images, 6, 7, 8, and 9, are closely related. By adding these numbers, 3, 4, 5, and 6, to the three potencies, San Cai, three potencies, heaven, earth, and air, another concept which is very important in the Song Dynasty. By adding these to the three, the resulting numbers are 6, 7, 8, and 9, which were themselves essential in the process of consulting the Book of Changes by way of counting stalks. On the website of the consortium, you find a video which was produced by the consortium where this counting algorithm recipe is hands-on explained, so to say. So this could be called the argument for this stage that the set of the four numbers, 6, 7, 8, and 9, which are called the four images of the Book of Changes, and which are very old, but which belong to a counting algorithm or recipe of manipulating myth or stocks, manually, which had been lost over the centuries and were already a matter of debate in Liu Mu's time, and they can be reconstructed and shown to be correct because they are very closely related to these numbers and to the trigrams. So and the source is the earliest that makes this kind of, it is not a correlation, it's more an interface between two systems of signs and notation, which is based on very little, a very small set of rules. So it is intuitively plausible that they are related because 6, 7, 8, and 9 can be calculated out of them. So while the numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9 were qualitative in the ancient sources, in the Sung adaptation, their computational origin is uncovered. In this example, the concepts of diagrams, evidentiality, and divinatory technique coincide beautifully in one place. The example further illustrates how existing complexities of pieces of information can get reduced, since the order of reading the gua lines, the lines of the trigrams, which is usually from bottom to top, becomes irrelevant, and the amount of signs is reduced from 8 symbols to 4 numbers, because of the redundancy that I mentioned. While at the same time, additional information has been added. In the history of computation, one fundamental development over time is the disentanglement of numbers from the objects they count or denote. We can see this happening quite literally in these diagrams on the left, I would say. What I also meant with rules being induced from the Hertu and Luoshu and reused for neighboring problems is the following. While on the one hand, the Hertu and Luoshu provide the classical legitimation for there to be black and white dot charts in the first place. In fact, they are accepted widely as the origin, the point of departure, so to say, for the creation of the I Ching and by the sage Emperor Fu Xi. That is to say, in the moment when the oldest layer of the first of all Chinese classics, namely the Gua trigrams, were invented, and this happened, or was imagined to have happened, resulting from heaven bestowing the two documents, Hertu and Luoshu, to Fu Xi, carried by mythic animals like the turtle, the horse, and sometimes also a dragon. Interestingly, reading the Xizi, which is also known as the appended statements, one of the oldest layers of the commentaries of the Book of Changes, and they are so canonical that they have long become part of the classic by then, we notice that following the inventions of this set of signs, the inventor himself is inspired by the signs to invent other cultural institutions, such as markets, tools, agrarian instruments, and so on. This is probably too small to read, I'm sorry. But I will read the English translation of the Xizi commentary, which I just mentioned and interpreted in advance. So the Xizi 2.2 says, when in ancient times Lord Baoxi ruled the world as sovereign, he looked upward and observed the images in heaven, and he looked downward and observed the models that the earth provided. He observed the patterns on birds and beasts and what things were suitable for the land. Nearby, adopting them from his own person, and afar, adopting them from other things, he thereupon made the 8 trigrams in order to become thoroughly conversant with the virtues inherent in the numinous and the bright, and to classify the myriad things in terms of their true innate natures. He tied cords together and made various kinds of snare nets for catching animals and fish. He probably got the idea from this, from the hexagram Li. So there is an invention going on, and then there is an inspiration drawn out of this invention of a sign system. I mean, others have pointed to this fact, but I think it would be worthwhile to develop this implications of this idea Now, in a very similar way, Liu Mu himself breaks down the documents into their elements and reassembles them, inventing new diagrams for new ideas. One consequence of this is that the majority of the diagrams in the issue go into can be shown to resemble either the basic template of the circular lower shoe with 9 positions or the cardinal directions of the Hur Tu with 10 positions. These gua or trigram numbers now became the basic toolkit for many of Liu Mu's diagrams, as we see on the left. This configuration is a visual paraphrase of the well-known passage from the Shur Gua, another of the 10 Wings commentaries of the Book of Changes, concerning the 6 children, Liu Zi. And at the same time, it is another result of several calculations that we'll not explain here in detail. What should be mentioned is that this is the earliest known depiction of the Houtian Bagua diagram in the transmitted literature. When you imagine these numbers on the left as trigrams instead of the gua numbers of Liu Mu. What we also notice is that the numbers in the 4 corners are to be read from inside out to refer to their trigrams Qian, Kun, Xun, and Gan. Whereas the ones on the cardinal points, the 4 others, are seen from somebody looking at it from outside, such as we look at it from outside as looking on a page. The reason for this is, I believe, as we know from the context, that this configuration intends to combine 2 levels of signifiers. One that belongs to the realm of images, xiang, in the sense of symbols, which are mainly there to denote by speaking, gao, and the other one that belongs to the realm of material, palpable or visible images, such as gua, trigrams, and hexagrams, that function by way of showing or indicating, shi. The method of counting Yarrow's dogs when consulting the Book of Changes for divination is described in the Xi Zi 1.9. It says there, the number of the great expansion is 50 Yarrow's dogs. Of these, we use 49. Now we're talking about the right one. Comparing these 2 diagrams with the Hertu and Luo Shu from above, we see how Liu Mu uses the Luo Shu figure he just constructed as a template for his graphical interpretation of the creation of the trigrams on the left. And he uses the He Tu as a template for the graphical interpretation of his divinatory technique on the right. In short, this is how Liu Mu formally proves the correctness of the number 50 for the number of the great expansion. This 2 on the right assembles the numbers of heaven and earth, which are the numbers from 1 to 10, except number 5, that amount to 50. The reason we are allowed to leave out the 5 is, as Liu Mu explicitly states, because the 5 symbolizes soil and is therefore required to have diagrams in the first place. Liu Mu says, hence, Kan Li Zhen Dui rest on the orthogonal sides of the 4 images. There is no mentioning of 5 images, since the 5 has no fixed position. If we enumerate the 4, then the 5th can be known. For the soil, no image exists. It separates and rules over the 4 seasons. This is another example where the number 5, which would be expected here given the desired completeness of the 5 faces, is actually removed to allow for the correlation with 4 items of another system. In this case, 4 of the 8 trigrams and their cardinal directions. So this is another example where diagram evidentiality and divinatory technique coincide quite beautifully, I think. In sum, we see on the right a representation of the 50 Yarrow's dogs that a person consulting the I Ching holds in hand at the beginning of each counting process. We can directly comprehend that the numbers that play an important role in this divinatory technique are a result of the mutual interaction between the realms of heaven, earth, and man, because the number 3 has been taken into the equation, as we will see in a minute. In precisely this way, the arithmetic function of the diagram becomes more important than the symbolic. Although the diagram never completely abandons its function of correlating qualitative cosmological systems. We also notice that all the outer contours are filled with fives, and the overall shape is a square to further support the idea that the five is implicitly present. Now, to understand the calculation, which I mentioned right now, we need to see this diagram. And this is how the four images create the eight trigrams. When you take each of the numbers three on the cardinal directions and add to it its neighboring number, then you obtain the numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9. No, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 3 plus 3. And obviously, it's not very spectacular when you write it down in symbolic notation. So. This template seems to belong to the circular arrangement of the Lorschuh, and therefore refers to the images above four. One could also have simply noted the computation in the mathematical notation that was common already at the time. So why bother and draw this kind of diagram? It's a rhetorical question, of course. So from here now then goes another branch to the origin of the cosmos. Here on the left is a very different way of obtaining the numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9, again, which is by adding 5 to the first four numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, we see that this is the rectangular template of the Hirtu. We are therefore again in the realm of images below concrete form. And there is a glimpse also of the glimpse at the very origin of existence on the right, the Taiji, the so-called supreme ultimate. It is depicted as a circle of 10 counters, the bright one on the top, a dark one at the bottom. Nothing is accidental here as a requirement of formal aesthetics demands. However, at the same time, the number 10 is the base of the decimal system of ciphers, which has been in use since the time of the oracle bones already. And the 10 is also the sum of the first four numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are again important on the one on the left. So we go from right to left here, and only when the 5 is added to the first four numbers, we reach the realm of concrete forms. The 5 representing the Earth in the center is required for this. It is important to realize that diagrams here were not only used to express arguments about insights which had been gained beforehand. Instead, we have to acknowledge several points. First, every kind of systematizing as well as numerical thought is by itself visual to some degree. This refers to the discussion about mental images from other disciplines. And second, by virtue of the spatial regularities inherent in the medium, any diagram imposes its own power of suggesting evidentiality in the way it explicates certain statements. Therefore, diagrams are, in the same way, instruments of insight, experiment, and proof, as they are tools to display and illustrate information. Now, to give you a more comprehensive overview of the work of Liu Mu, we may look at this table. Here we see the three volumes, Juan, of the Yishu Goyin II, and the fourth column is the transmitted discussions in 9 items, Ilun Jiu Shi, which had been suspected to be forgeries. There's a discussion of whether they are older or if they are from different authors or if they are from an earlier stage of Liu Mu's life. Note that the first volume begins with the supreme ultimate, Tai Chi. It's probably also too small to read, I'm sorry. And it deals mainly with the concept of the realm above physical forms, the first column, such as the four images and the trigrams. And the first gen ends with the human body being endowed with the five virtues and the five phases, Ren, Bing, Wu, Xing, in diagram number 33. I also added the most important numbers of each stage and I try to classify each chart according to whether it is of the type of the rectangular Lohr shoe or the circular rotum. The second term concentrates more on human affairs, with the generation of hexagrams, the interrelatedness of the three potencies, heaven, earth, and man, and the calendar. The third volume focuses on the origin of the two foundational charts, Hirtu and Lurshu, using mainly textual evidence, and therefore has only very few charts. In the Ilun Tioshu, the fourth column, we see that many of the topics of the Shugoyin II are referred back to or anticipated. Remember that the Ilun Tioshu are probably a bit older material. This the conclusion that I reached reading it, probably a bit older material than the first three columns. They are the fourth column, and they are at the end because they are appended in the transmitted source at the end of this work. For example, the long tour, the first of the nine items, which is another name for the Lurshu, then the calendar, which is discussed in the second volume, the number of the great expansion that we saw in the context of the manual recipe for consulting, the book of changes in the first volume, the Bagungwa method of the eight palaces that generates the 64 hexagrams, and so on. I will skip the rest. In the examples above, I have tried to show that numerical diagrams were used by Liu Mu and others because of their potential to suggest evident solutions for problems of cosmological speculations. In other words, in the diagrammarian's attempt to reconstruct a theory of cosmogenesis, computation was given preference to symbolic numerology, or number mysticism, as it is often called, at least on certain occasions and to some degrees. To exemplify this, we need to pay special attention to the fault lines between previously existing ideas adapted from the classics and the diagrammarian's own ideas. And this can be done, apart from looking at diagrams themselves, it can also be done by comparing passages from the Xizi, in this case, with Liu Mu's own writing. Liu Mu's Ishugoyin II can be read as a commentary on the Xizi, the appended statements on the Yijing. In order to create adequate visualizations, naturally, Liu Mu's approach focuses on a set of technical terms in the Xizi, such as images, xiang, forms, xing, pronouns, gao, reveal, shi, and many others. These terms are of vital importance when natural cosmological concepts, such as the four cardinal directions, five phases, and eight trigrams, are transmediated into visible numbers and staged in an elaborate configuration in a diagram. In short, Liu Mu's work can also be read as an attempt to elucidate the representational system that underlies the I Ching. A system of representation, implicit or explicit, has to account for how certain types of signs, such as symbols, icons, indexes, metaphors, and so on, work together to reflect the elements of an underlying cosmology. At the same time, it has to take into account that every object in the real world denoted by a symbol can be a sign itself, such as the words in the Book of Changes have been read as metaphors for hexagrams, and vice versa. Here we see the passage from the Xizi that Liu Mu takes up and comments, one of many of the passages. And the Xizi says, therefore, what is above, prior to physical form, is equivalent to the Dao, the way. And what is below, subsequent to physical form, is equivalent to concrete objects. And Liu Mu comments on this, the images are counterparts above the forms. If we follow this to its source, then the forms are brought forth by the images, and the images are established by the numbers. In this programmatic statement, Liu Mu places number as a cosmological entity on top of a hierarchy of precedence. And then he goes on to identify numbers in a range of cosmological, divinatory, and natural systems before translating them into diagrammatic depiction, where they figure as components of charts, which themselves become systematically interrelated by their ordering in the sequence of diagrams, and the sequence of diagrams resembles the cosmogenesis. For the functions of diagrams, some cosmological diagrams had several functions. For one, they served to reconstruct previously hidden structures in classical texts and their commentaries. Furthermore, diagrams facilitated new insights into elements of cosmological systems and their interrelations themselves. These systems had been a matter of long debate due to limited possibilities of direct empirical verification. In many cases, visualizations serve to choose the correct commentary from the multitude of transmitted opinions on certain individual problems, such as the T-Relief Fool, the return in 7 days of the year's cycle, and further, in using diagrams as a meta-language for reformulating classical ideas and cryptic passages from classical texts, new arguments of a Latin Neo-Confucian agenda could be interwoven with the existing material. What makes these diagrams so interesting to me is that precisely the change of media enabled a degree of subversion without any excessively apparent transgression of the limited borders of possible innovation. The range of applications of diagrams encompass textual exegesis, like John Dewey structures, grammar, topic commentaries, mnemonics, contemplation, personal cultivation, didactics, the organization of the body politic, and more general, creating evidence for quote-unquote rational argument. When we look at the diagrammatic works of this time, it becomes quite obvious that they are dedicated to an integration of previously distinct systems of knowledge, a unification of theories that is usually called correlative cosmology. They are therefore part of the old project of a great synthesis of models of time, space, natural forces, astronomy, anatomy, music, and so on. It is particularly difficult to distinguish between possible influences on the Song Dynasty authors by the sources they used if one wants to decide where their actual contribution began, for several reasons. The depictions from the time before the Song are far fewer in numbers in the transmitted literature. For one, the book printing was in development, spreading at that time, and another reason also might be that during the Tang they had been forbidden, especially cosmological and diagrams of these types had been by punishment forbidden. And some authors often also used apocryphal texts, and it's not clear in which form they had access to these fragments and in which editions. And several of the Song sources themselves are explicitly labeled as collections of essentially bricolage. For example, the Ilun Jiu Shi, as we have seen above. Liu Mu's and also Zhang Li's, which is a person from probably the late Song, early Yuan, diagrams, their diagrams are, as I said, numerically motivated. Their goal is to enhance the coherence and understanding of some of the most important sources of cosmological knowledge, mainly the appended statements of the Book of Changes, but also the Hongfan chapter of the Book of Documents, Shu Ting, as well as apocryphal works like the Yiwei Tian Suodu, but as well as the later authors as Wang Bi, Kong Ying Da, or the legendary Taoist Chen Tuan. Many of these materials were also in Liu Mu's times themselves an enigmatic body of material. It is obvious that these diagrams. It is obvious that these diagrams are more than mere metaphors or illustrations of their problem space. The intricacy of these visualizations lies not in the mathematical complexity. They are mostly quite trivial to calculate. Some more complicated ones are in the calendaric calculations, which we haven't seen today, but the intricacy lies neither in the difficulty of resolving the symbolic correspondences. Instead, it is intriguing how efficiently they convey complex ideas compared to the long linear explanations that are required to offer the same information to an audience as I am trying to do at this moment. Liu Mu himself remarks in one of his rather cryptic passages when struggling for words the following: Gu xu ji yi shu, yi ming bu ke yan zhi yi. Hence, with regard to the missing number one, which is one of the problems that he is working on, there is a meaning required to elucidate it which cannot be explained or explicated verbally. What does it say us about the type of knowledge which is required to have that, maybe? Either it is some rather tacit kind of knowledge, or maybe it's just a lack of eloquence. Comparing these visualizations with their accompanying texts, Tushur, it becomes clear that the two are not meant to substitute each other at all. There is complexity reduced when going from text to image, and at the same time, diagrams contain numerous layers of meaning that are not commented on explicitly in the diagrammarian, by the diagrammarian, but they are instead subject to the reader's visual literacy. To conclude, for Liu Mu, as for Meng Xi and Jing Fang, Han authors, the realm of images, Yang, is not limited to the hexagram images of the symbolic settings, composed of literal meaning of the hexagram's name and its overall theme. Instead, the images are an extremely flexible concept of an entity in this system of representation. In Liu Mu's cosmology, numbers are of primordial importance. They are no longer a field of knowledge besides medicine, astrology, music, and so on. Instead, they are elevated to a method of dealing with any field of knowledge, including classical exegesis, probably even including dealing with numbers, by numbers. One contribution of Sung cosmologists was to take the computational role of numbers one step further to back up their arguments instead of relying entirely on the textual evidence and qualitative symbolic use of numbers. The image, the diagrams of the school of charts and books stand in the tradition of earlier proponents of the image and number school that had its earlier heyday during the Han dynasty and was represented by scholars such as Jin Fang and Meng Xi. However, I believe that we should not see the cosmological wing of the early Song school of charts and books, Tushu Xiebai, as entirely within the tradition of the older image and number school. The Han exegetes were seeking to multiply the possibilities of interpretations of hexagrams, ultimately aiming at better adaptations of the human human behavior and institutions to the order of the natural realm. They were doing this very often by using structures that could be paraphrased by lists plus rules, resulting in permutations. The Sung exegetes, as I have tried to show, were more interested in understanding the internal workings of cosmological entities, including formal proof for the efficacy of divination with eating, or the interrelatedness of different types of signs, such as images, words, numbers, charts, in a system of representation. Diagrams represent relations between individual concepts rather than terms and concepts themselves. The notions of process and cosmogenesis are reflected in the sequence of diagrams, which attempts to be numerically consistent. The evidentiality, you could also call it empirical plausibility, offered by diagrammatic reasoning, becomes more important in cases where there are limited possibilities of direct empirical verification, such as workings of cosmological forces in divinatory techniques, as compared to more tangible problems of, for example, calendars of music with a shorter feedback line, so to say. I think I'll finish. Thank you.